everybody. Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with
T-Rex.
We got to work on that.
Right, we'll work on it.
But it's good to be here. For the new year, it's great to be here. I have, my S's are off right now because, like the sound S, because my flipper came out of my mouth. I had a fake tooth that I got into from a car accident when I was younger. And then I got into a fight in an elevator, which I've talked about on this show plenty of times. Lo and behold, somebody's dog bit my dog, and then I was like, what happened? And then the guy punched me in the face, and then I took him down and punched him, and then my dog bit up his leg. But he got two shots in and before that, and now I have a fake tooth. So now my fake tooth broke on a cruise ship eating a sandwich.
You still have it?
No, it's like in half, and now when I talk, I feel like all I want for Christmas is my tooth back.
Teeth.
Yeah, that's all I want is my tooth back. And it's hard to talk with it, but you know what? I'm a survivor, and right. It's just, you know, and I have a zit coming in on my nose. It's like
Jesus.
New Year's is just going to be. It's going to. It's like.
Well, it can only be down. Uphill or downhill?
I don't know. It's like the zit's coming in on the countdown. It's getting bigger. It's like the ball is dropping
three.
On my face.
Jeez, balls are dropping on your face?
No, that did not sound. That did not sound well. That's awful. Yeah. Or yeah. Yes. Balls are dropping on my. I can't believe I just said that. Anyway. Lo and behold, I don't know. I was on a cruise ship last week. That was a lot of fun, but it was hard actually because, you know, it was a Christmas cruise. So I'm performing and like it's all families and Christmas time. And I'm doing a show for kids. You got to do a 30-minute G-rated show. And I start getting heckled by a three-year-old. A three-year-old's like, boo. And I can't tell the kid, hey, look, kid, Santa's not real. You know, right. Which is what I want to do. I want to be just, you know, go into him, but I can't do that. And then finally, I was doing well. And then one little kid who was 8 was laughing at everything. He goes, hey, man, you're really funny, but I got things to do. I'm like, you're 8.
He did not say that.
He did. I swear. But that wasn't even the worst part of the cruise. The rest of the cruise was good.
I got like, things to do.
Yeah, when you're 8 years old, like you have nothing to do.
Right. But, the Sunday bar isn't closing.
Yeah, that was hard. And then and it's hard because the same crowd comes to every show. I mean, literally. 300 people.
Boo, we saw that the last two shows.
Yeah, three different shows. We want new jokes. And then, you walk around the cruise ship, they, surround you. Like, hey, there's the funny guy. Tell us a joke. You know, so you're like, I'm sequestered in my room, you know, for this little room. And anyway, so I had a show, and I'm doing a lot of crowd work, and then this couple comes in, this lady comes in late, and she was, got a big voluptuous, not fat, but, big boobs hanging out, blonde hair in her 30s. And I was like, wow, that girl looks like she could bang the whole Lakers. So something like that, right? Like, look at that girl.
Was it Lisa Lampanelli?
No, but I was like, it looks like she banged the Lakers, right?
Right.
So then the couple gets mad and they walk out, right?
Come on, really?
Yeah, they come out like that offends them or something. And I was like, oh, wow, the roofie works, sir, you know, as they're walking out.
Right.
So then I have three great shows and people are like, oh man, you're the funniest guy ever, and pointing to me and shaking my hand. I'm feeling good about my life and this cute little, I don't know, cruise singer. I'm talking to her and everything's going well. And then I'm walking forward more and this couple smiles at me. I'm like, they point at me like, that's him. And I'm like, oh, hey, thanks for coming to the show. I'm like, how's your cruise so far? Well, my night was better because I didn't see you. And I was like, oh.
That was the couple that walked in?
The couple that, and I was like, and then I'm like, it started to occur to me. And she was, by the way, I didn't bang the Lakers.
It was the Celtics.
Yeah, you have to tell me you didn't bang the Lakers. You probably banged the Lakers. And then and then the guy goes, yeah, and I don't roofie my wife. I'm like, dude, these are not this is not.
Right.
Oh, so then I had to deal with that. And
it's a
then,
comedy show, you a-hole.
Yeah, I had to deal with that. And then I had to deal with this two old ladies came to every one of my shows.
Did you bang them?
Yes. I had a threesome. They were an average age of dead. You know, it was one of those things. But they come to my show, and this one lady goes, that's not nice, after each joke. I'm like, really? When did this become, the nice fact? It was just, so, yeah, it was, but it was, they were good shows, but it was you know, one of those things. Anyway, so, yeah, UFC 168. That's
Jeez.
What we should talk about.
Jeez.
This is the MMA podcast. People are going to be like, oh, some people like when I talk about my life. Other people are like, get to the fighting. It's like you can't win with people. No matter what you do.
Yeah, so just do you.
Just do me.
Yeah,
so. I literally, I stayed up all night doing this text from last fight. I mean, literally 8 hours putting every joke I have, I counted it was 97 punchlines. I'm like, this is my favorite one. I put it out there. I'm waiting for the feedback because I'm an idiot. And then all of a sudden, people are like, oh, hilarious, hilarious, hilarious. Someone goes, normally these sucks, but this one wasn't bad. I'm like, really? You couldn't just say, like, wasn't bad or...
Right.
But of course, that's the one that gets to me. It's always that one person.
If you're performing in front of 1,000 people and everybody's doubling over laughing and there's one dude, like, 3 rows back who's got his arms folded, that's the one guy that you're going to think about the rest of the night.
And
like,
that
why
always...
could that one guy? Yeah, but 999 people were rolling. And that one dude that wasn't, that bothers you.
Yeah, always.
Yeah.
It's always the chick that didn't bang me that I think about.
Well, that bothers me too.
It's always like the, I had hundreds of wrestling matches. I probably won over 100 matches in high school, but I lost like 7 or 8.
And those are the ones that haunt you.
I remember every kid that beat me, what they look like, their penis size. I mean, seriously, like it's not a very great way to live, is in the need of approval of people, but what are you going to do? So anyway. Let's talk about Anderson Silva right now.
Poor guy.
Man.
But I knew he was going to lose. I said that on the
We both said he was going to lose. I mean, I didn't think he was going to lose. No one said called that.
Well, like, nobody called that, but he... Yeah.
But he got dominated in the first. He got dominated in the first. You know, it's one of those things where I just think, A, Chris Weidman has his number.
He does. He has his number like a mother hunch.
I think that... you know, Silva's 38, 39 years old. I think, you know, once you get knocked out the first time, they say that your chin gets less and less.
His whole demeanor was different, though. Like, did you see, he couldn't make eye contact with Chris?
Yeah.
He was like, at one point when they were showing it before, while they were doing the intros, you know, Chris is over there staring Anderson down. Then they show Anderson, and Anderson's, like, looking at the floor.
Yeah, he was, like, squatting. At one point, he was, like, taking a dump on the way to the octagon.
And then stopped and started praying. And,
yeah.
And, like, he was, like, not himself at the weigh-ins when they did the face-off at the weigh-ins. Like, normally Anderson would, like, look around or clown you or something.
Well, after the first fight, when he lost, he said he didn't want a rematch. And then he changed his mind. But it just seemed like maybe he's not. Look, the thing was is that obviously Anderson Silva is the greatest of all time. Nothing but respect for Anderson Silva.
Amazing
and
dude.
And the thing is that after he had broken his leg, you know, I'm trying to think of a joke because I'm MMA roasted and I kind of my job is to make people laugh. But every joke has a victim.
Right.
Every joke has a victim, whether it's normally a person. You have to make fun of them. And I'm like, okay, how could I be funny right now and not piss off people and be disrespectful? So I just wrote, you know, after he got knocked out, I was like, you said, oh, snap, really? I came up with, Kim Winslow told him to stand up. Right. And then people were like, dude, too soon. And I'm like, the joke was about
Kim Winslow. Right.
Right. So then I was like, people were like, gross. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to cheer myself up by putting on... What's that?
Kevin Ware?
No, not Kevin Ware. What's that? I can't even remember my own joke. It's the one where the movie where they taped the people's faces to Human Centipede. I'm gonna go. So I was like, I'm gonna cheer myself up by watching Human Centipede, and people were like, people were like, too soon. I can't tell you how many people texted me jokes saying his corner told him to break a leg, and I didn't retweet one of them it was one of those things. I didn't want to. The guy was still in pain, and it was sad. And I felt bad for Weidman because people.
Yeah, I wanted to see Weidman win. I mean, I thought he was going to win, and I wanted to see him win decisively. Not
people
by,
are still like,
Anderson was coming back.
Yeah, he still doesn't. Now that the old man, it was a fluke, and dude, that it was one of those things, or they said, he was disrespectful because he was put his hands up while Silva was in pain. Look, I mean, Silva was trying to inflict pain on him,
and he did
check the kick, and it was a perfect check, and it was perfectly legal what he did, and. You know, and things happen. You can't fault Chris Weidman for it. But I almost felt like in some ways, Weidman's victory was not as... I felt like he couldn't celebrate because of the whole thing. And it was like, oh, man, a guy who wins the title again, you want to feel like he's you want to feel happy for him.
Right. Well, just watch the first round.
Yeah. I mean, but now they're saying that Silva will be back in 3 to 6 months.
That's not happening.
I don't know what...
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
First of all, like my whole take on Anderson Silva was after he lost to Chris Weidman the first time, it was probably it stung him a little bit, and he didn't want to retire on a loss. So he was like, "I'm going to come back." But once he lost like that, where he got knocked out, he was never the same anyway. And he didn't even have it in him to come back and win, I don't think.
No, I think he did. I think
well,
Anderson
I don't know.
Silva
he just
beats,
looked completely different.
I think he beats 99% of the people out there.
Well, I'm saying, but going against Chris Weidman, the dude who beat him, I mean, he's the one dude that beat him up.
And he's got a style that's a nightmare for him.
Right.
He's a wrestler with great jiu-jitsu and good hands. And
all that was going through his head leading up to that fight. And so I know people
that have trained with Anderson Silva for this fight, and they said that he was vintage Anderson Silva. He was training way harder. That's where I started to second guess. I was like, man, maybe he is training. But it just that was the way the cookie crumbled, and
or the shin bone.
Oh man. Leave it to you. No, I mean, look.
I love Anderson.
Of course. How could you not love Anderson? And you know, part of you get over things by making jokes. And I'm not going to fault anyone for making a joke about anything. Right. It's a joke is a joke. I'm not going to say this joke is inappropriate or off limits. That's not. I'm not the joke police.
Right.
I personally didn't want to make a joke because the guy was screaming in agony. Right. I mean, even Ariel Helwani tweeted, the guy's screaming in agony. And I felt kind of bad. I was like,
ugh. Of course. Dude, that was brutal.
It was brutal.
And as soon as you heard it, you know his leg broke.
No, it was that.
I had the stereo up in the house, and you heard a, and I was like, his leg's broken.
It was, yeah. People, everyone like.
My wife was like, no, it's not. And I was like, yeah.
It was like people were watching Two Girls, One Cup for the first time. You know the reaction?
Oh!
It was that same. Good, I didn't screw up that as bad as the other one. I couldn't remember Human Centipede. I don't know. And then people were like, watch number two. And that's what people were saying. I guess it's a Human Centipede. You know what that, have you seen that movie, Human Centipede?
I know all about it, though.
Oh, man.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's required viewing. It should be a middle school required viewing. But the other big fight, I mean, a lot of big fights, but they're Ronda Rousey, Miesha Tate. Ronda Rousey, that was the best I've ever seen her look. I mean, she looked awesome. She fought well, too. No, Ronda Rousey, I mean, her judo was insane.
Dude, she tossed her around.
I've never seen
hip toss slams slams at the same time.
It was one of the most beautiful displays of throwing I've ever seen, and I had to throw my rag afterward. No, it was. I mean, it was
your sock.
Yeah, it was insane. It was a wow. I mean, at the same time, you know, everybody that kind of knew anything about fighting, especially Tyron Woodley, he was actually live tweeting from the UFC thing. He was like, what is Miesha Tate? No, because he had the UFC on their Twitter handle.
Right.
And he was like, what is she thinking? Why does she keep locking up?
I was thinking this. I was like, stick on the outside and stick to your game plan of punching her in the
face. Why does she keep shooting? And that's the thing. It's like Miesha Tate, I don't know. I mean, she's got great wrestling. You know, she was really good high-level grappling. But when you get a girl like Ronda Rousey, who is so strong.
She's strong like a guy.
And so, like, when I had Jake Ellenberger the week that you weren't here, the weeks, actually, or the months, the 4 years that you haven't shut up. Jake Ellenberger was telling me that Ronda Rousey took him down in practice. And I'm like, this guy walks around Ellenberger at 180, 175, or maybe 190, all muscle. He's ranked top five in the UFC men's division at 170. And he's saying that a 135-pound girl is tossing him in practice. When that happens, I'm like, whoa. Like,
it's all about using leverage and
Jesus.
All that. Yeah, she's strong.
Strong as hell. Look great. At the same time, we got to talk about her attitude. Which
dude, I don't like it.
You're not the only one.
Well, I know. You heard the crowd. They were booing. I mean, like, because Miesha was like, all right, let's squash it. She's, you know, tried to shake her hand. And she just dissed her. And I don't know that she said, like, you basically spit on my family or whatever. I'm not going to.
Yeah, first of all, what did she say about her family?
Like, I have no idea.
I know that Ronda Rousey's father passed away, which is awful. And, you know, she's had a tough upbringing. I don't know what Miesha Tate said. I wish she would have told us what she said about her family. Because it didn't make any sense, that whole thing. Was it her legitimate family or her friends that she calls her family?
Right.
But also, you know, there's a lot of things that are going on.
Because of what she was saying about Edmund.
Edmund? The trainer. I mean, it's part of a show, and she was saying things about Miesha, too. And Ronda won. And the thing is that everyone's like, Ronda is so good for the sport and you know, brings so many. She does bring a lot of eyeballs to the sport. She's obviously taking women's MMA to a whole new level. At the same time, if I have a daughter, which I don't know of, but let's say I do have a daughter, and we're watching that. And the daughter's like, wow, I want to be like Ronda Rousey, right? And I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then at the end, she doesn't shake the girl's hand and walks away and goes, I like hearing boos. I'm probably going to be like, maybe you shouldn't go into women's MMA. This is the way people act.
Now, I'd rather my daughter be gracious in defeat than arrogant in victory.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it was all about Miesha. I don't think that's how Ronda really is. That's the thing, is that...
No, I think it's her hatred for
Miesha Tate.
For Miesha Tate.
Because when she fought Liz Cormoosh, She wasn't like that. She's fighting Sarah McMahon. I don't think she's going to have that attitude. When she fought other girls, she didn't, Sarah Kaufman, she wasn't like that. She didn't say, I want to embrace the booze. Now we do have to think, is this a good strategy for Ronda Rousey, being that she wants to be a movie star as well? Because if Ronda Rousey is going to be in the Expendables and the Fast and the Furious and want to have other movies, am I going to want to pay $10 to see a girl who's not an actress, who's becoming an actress, who's telling everyone to F off? Probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, and she's got so much, there's so much upside to her being a good sport.
Yeah.
She's a good sport.
If she was a good sport, I mean, she'd be the Michael Jordan of women's MMA.
And she could be on Dancing with the Stars when she retires, or she could have the Ronda Rousey show. There's so much upside to her being a good sport, and there's so little downside. And she already won. She went out. She looked great. She performed like a maniac. She was hip tossing. She won the fight. She kicked ass. There was no need for her not to.
So let me ask you this. So would you say that a lot of that responsibility would lay on the shoulders of the management or the people that are around her?
Yes.
Tell her like, look, you are fantastic at what you do, and we want these endorsements, blah 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 blah. You need to be a better sport about it. Stop, flicking people off.
I do. I think William Morris, her agency, her manager, her PR person, but a girl like Ronda Rousey,
not gonna listen to
is so stubborn.
Right.
And you don't get to be that good without having a hard head and being stubborn and doing what you think that you want to do. So that's the thing, is that you're...
Yeah, but talking, at some point...
If I was her manager, I would say, listen, Ronda, you have the looks, you have the talent, people love you, you're hot, you're an amazing fighter, you got everything going. There's no need to try to be the heel of MMA.
You could be the total package. The one piece that's missing is humility. You're the total package.
And that's the thing, is that
right now you're 9 out of 10.
And she's pissing off a lot of athletes too, because look at people's tweets. Like the guys in MMA were like, not even like guys like Tim Kennedy, Ronda, not cool. Tyrone Woodley, really, Ronda? People are like, dude, the sport is bigger than Ronda Rousey. The sport is bigger than everybody. Sports have been going on forever. And the greatest fighters in the world, and all athletes in the world, the Muhammad Ali's, the Joe Frazier's, the Joe Lewis's, the Anderson Silva's, the Randy Couture's, the Fedor's, after a fight, they would shake hands. It's just the way it goes.
Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen, he's easy to not like,
yeah,
but he's amusing.
Oh, he's a different level though.
Yeah, he's a different level, but I mean, he can be the heel, but everybody loves him anyway.
Because he does it with a grain of salt, with a
tongue in cheek or whatever. This is just like straight up anger and bitterness.
Yeah, this is just craziness. Anyway, we have a great show. We have Diego Sanchez on the show.
The Dream.
As well as Hector Lombard.
I wish I had something funny to say about that guy. I'm scared.
Thank you guys for tuning in. It's going to be a great show. Okay, so right now we are on the phone with Diego Sanchez. Diego, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. Doing good. I'm just hanging out, just waiting for you guys to call in between practices right now, and just feeling good, man. My weight's down, and I'm excited to get started on 2014.
Yeah, nice. Man. Diego, hey, I just so you know, like I didn't even know you were following MMA Roasted until one day out of nowhere, you were like, hey, man, you make me laugh every single day. Just don't make fun of me too much. Diego Sanchez. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I've been a fan of yours forever. I mean, since the first Ultimate Fighter.
You got some good tricks up your sleeve, and you've given me some good laughs. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, man. Well, you've been very entertaining yourself. You've had more Fight of the Nights than anybody else in the UFC, more Fight of the Years than anybody else in the entire UFC.
That's crazy.
Which is
you're a straight up savage, man. You're an animal. He's damn warrior. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, man. Now you're fighting. You're fighting Miles Jury coming up. He's undefeated. What are your plans for that? I mean,
with my thoughts on my thoughts on Miles Jury is the kid's tough, man. He's anybody that's undefeated, they're undefeated for a reason. And so with that in mind, I've taken a look at his tapes, and I've seen his strengths, I've seen his weaknesses, and I feel like he excels in the same areas that I excel, but I'm just a little bigger, stronger, and wiser, and that's going to be the difference in this fight.
Is it going to be like one of your typical crazy wars that like you've been in, or are you going to fight a more tactical fight? Or
you know, I think the guy's going to try to run. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, not every fight's going to be as great as the last one. You have to have the opponent to have those type of fights. You have to have the right type of person. And I don't think that this guy is going to go in there and try to fight me. He trains with one of my old trainers that I used to train with back in San Diego.
Right.
Tony Palafox. So if you know, Tony's a smart guy, and Tony's going to tell him, like, look, man, you're not going to be able to knock this guy out. Like, don't get your hopes up on knocking him out. You need to just try to, like, win on points and stick and move. And so I'm expecting that, and I'm also expecting for him to try to take me down. He's excelled in all his fights by taking people down. He dominated Anthony Michael Johnson by taking him down and using his jiu-jitsu. So I see him going to his strength and also trying to play the points game. So I got some tricks up my sleeve, and I think that once he gets hit by one of my big power shots, things could change.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing, man. You've been in so many wars. Do you ever, like, get nervous that, like, man, I'm just taking too many punches, or does that ever?
You know what? I don't. I really don't. I've never had any concussions in my entire career, and so with that, you know, like, I feel good. Even the guys at 70, you know, I face some heavy hitters like Jake Ellenberger and Martin Kampman and Koscheck, and at 70, I felt like, you know, the guys hit a lot harder than the guys at 55.
Right. And
when I went down to 55, you know, opposed to walking into BJ Penn's overhand right, you know, I came in real fast into that punch. But besides that, you know, no one else I've never even felt any of the punches at 55.
Who was the guy that hit you the hardest?
Gilbert Melendez, he got me with a good elbow up against the cage that cut my eye. It was a good Muay Thai elbow, but did it daze me or jar me, or did I feel a little buzz? No, nothing. Not in the whole fight. I didn't feel like he had me injured at all.
Out of all the guys you fought, who do you think hit the hardest?
I get asked that one. Well, obviously, the only time that I've been out was with DJ Penn, and that was that one shot that was really hard, and then he hit me with accumulation of shots after that was hard to recover from when he was going for the finish. But I don't necessarily think he hits the hardest. I think probably the hardest hitter that, I don't know, I'd have to probably give it to Koscheck.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Ellenberger.
You know, yeah, I thought Ellenberger too.
Ellenberger too, you know, I think the hardest hit I've been hit with was by Koscheck, because I remember, you know, having a little buzz from it, and he hit me on the jaw and cut my lip, and I would say that was probably the hardest hit that I had, aside from this fight that I fought in King of the Cage, where I fought this guy Rene Kronvold, and Rene Kronvold hit me with, he was a Denmark kickboxer, and this dude hit me with a combination, and I had a lazy lip for like 5 months. I couldn't kiss. I looked all retarded. Like, you know, he gave me nerve damage. Fortunately, you know, it came back. You know, like, the nerves came back. But yeah, no, I've taken a couple hard hits in my fight career. But I don't feel like I, you know, look like some of those guys who get knocked out real bad. Or, you know, I feel like I've been good with all that.
I have a question that you've never been asked. So you used to work at UPS, correct?
Yeah.
Now, when you were
what can Brown do for you?
Now, when you were delivering packages, did you ever have like a MILF that was like, "Hey, come in," and then you like totally like banged her?
No. I just worked in the warehouse,
oh.
So I was with I just with all the crazy UPS loaders and unloaders, and yeah, that was a. I give it up to those guys. I did it for 1 year, and that was one of the hardest jobs I ever done. And I, of course, I was training twice a day while doing it, but.
That's crazy.
Still, man, that was put some tough labor in the hot summers.
He's like,
and
man,
so all you guys out there, my hat's off to you guys. You know, thank you for throw the box.
You'd rather get punched and kicked in the head than throw boxes on a truck.
Don't throw the boxes. I'm not saying I never threw no boxes.
No,
I'm just saying.
Speaking of you throwing boxes, like I heard after the Ultimate Fighter, you went back to Albuquerque and you were just banging every. woman in Albuquerque, like you were just you were going to town, and then you got kind of sidetracked from partying too much. Can you please elaborate on this?
No, not at all. No, I was always just been very selective. You know, very selective in my relationships, and I you know I fell in love a couple times, but you know
for 20 minutes at a time.
You know, God blessed me with a really good woman, and so. Now I'm all settled down and married and doing the family thing, and it's the best thing, man. It's the best thing ever, you know. It's a challenge in itself, but it's all worth it for the kids and the family.
When you settled down with the family and the kids and all that, is that when you became the dream as opposed to the nightmare?
Somewhat. The nightmare was the nightmare in the cage, but the nightmare became the nightmare out of the cage also. So, you know, that's when I had to make the change because I got a little bit out of control. Like you said, with the partying and stuff. I fell into a lie, man, a lie of, you know, that partying it up is the lifestyle to live. And it's not, man. It doesn't get you anywhere but down and down and back. It's fun when you're doing it, but, you know, it's. You can, that's like, you know, twice a year, you know, hang out, you know, celebrate. Celebrations are great, you know, family, especially family celebrations. But,
now,
you know, if you're doing it the way I was doing it, I was, you know, going out for a month after every fight, you know, and just going big and going hard after I.
Now, what does that,
what does that entail?
What does that exactly mean? Like you were going, I mean, no disrespect. I just really want to know, like, what is that? Does that mean you were like, is that cocaine and alcohol or?
No, that's just going hard. It's just, you know, you're going out, you know, you're going to Vegas, you know, and you're staying there for 5 days, you know, and you're going out every night and you're drinking heavy and you know, and my thing was I smoked a lot of weed, like a lot of weed. And some people, you know, like Joe Rogan say weed's not bad for you, but for me it wasn't good for me. You know, it led to combining with alcohol, it really led to some bad decisions and
wow.
And you know, I learned my lesson and I cleaned my act up.
Were you getting into like street fights at all, like out in the clubs or?
Oh, I've been in plenty of street fights in my day, even in my UFC days. I've been in some street fights, but not too many. Everybody. You know what? I've always been cool, and I've always believed in what Bruce Lee said. You know, like, you know, the best way to fight is to not fight at all, and that's you're winning. And so I've always believed in that. But, yeah, of course, sometimes it gets crazy and
right.
You got to throw it down.
Now, I remember back in the day, you always had the best ring entrances. I mean, I remember back, you either had, like, the meanest face I've ever seen.
Mean faces were ridiculous.
Unbelievable. I mean, Ronda Rousey has nothing on your mean faces, by the way. I mean, you are the original. Or you had the Tony Robbins, you know, you were listening to Tony. Are you still into Tony Robbins at all, or...?
Not so much, but you know, I learned a lot from Tony Robbins. I learned a lot, and he, you know, I got some good wisdom from his conferences, and they were very motivating and everything. But I love all that, man. I love the walk down to the cages classic, and I was just thinking about that when I was watching the fight on Saturday. I was watching Anderson Silva come out, and I was like, man. He got the best song. I'm like, That is so classic. That song is just like the best UFC walkout song. And before him, Chuck Liddell used to have the best walkout song. And now nobody really has the best walkout. Matt Hughes had a good one, but you know, I mean, a song that gets you like pumped, but like, you know, like a calm, like a good pump. But I was like, man, I need to find me a good one. You know, I'm always coming out to different songs that feel right for the moment in time. But
what are you going to come out to next?
You know, I haven't decided yet. I haven't decided yet. I'm real big into like old school hip hop.
Right.
Like the old school, the like really like the like jam on it and like breakdancing music. I like that type of music.
From Nucleus.
Yeah.
Get me in my breakdancing rhythm. That way I could break dance in the cage.
Did you used to break dance?
Did I used to break? No, I never break dance, but I do it now a little bit. As part of my training, it's part of my training that I do now. I found this wrestling coach that teaches me breakdancing with my wrestling. He was a breakdancer, so a lot of the moves come from breakdancing, and so like it's a really cool style. It really applied to me because I was always a scrambler anyway. I just like move, never stop, and you know, I think, yeah, I work very hard to get myself in condition, but I also think that God has blessed me with a natural good conditioning, because I don't see guys like me. I don't see guys like me that usually the opposite. You know, the fight goes on and they start getting tired, they start getting slower, you know, they start moving less, and I'm the opposite.
You get your second win.
Like, as the fight keeps going, I wish I could have all 5-round fights, because I'm, by the end of the third round, most of the time, I have the momentum and I'm going in a good positive direction. So where I've already almost bogey. I mean, Jake Ellenberger,
yeah,
Melendez. You know, some of my losses that I had. I mean, you know, even in the Countman fight. You know, like people said that was controversial, but even in the Countman fight, you know, I had, with the will, the inner will that I have, and the cardio and the conditioning and the strong chin that I have, I could break these guys mentally. And they're like, you know, eventually they kind of start to give up a little bit. And like, they're like, whoo, take a breath, and I'm still coming. Oh, shit, he's still coming. Oh, shit, this guy's nuts. You know?
No, I absolutely. I mean, the Jake Ellenberger fight is a classic example. I think of that. I mean, you definitely had the momentum in the third. Do you think maybe you should maybe start a little? Sometimes do you look back and be like, oh man, I wish I would have done more in the first round in some of your fights? That
I try to tell myself that. I'm like, okay, you only have one round. I try to tell myself that, and you know, sometimes it's just, you know, it. You're fighting. I've been fighting the top guys for a while, so you know it just depends, you know.
Right.
Like Gilbert Melendez. I gave it my all in that fight. I thought it was a draw. You know, some guys. Yeah. You know,
I thought so too. That was the best fight I've ever seen.
I was gonna say that has my nomination for a fight of the year.
No, that fight is like the deck of like the century. That was unbelievable.
That was ridiculous.
By the way, Ben Askren said that was the most boring fight he's ever seen. Just so you know. Ben Askren.
You know, there might be some better fights out there, but I'll tell you this. What made that fight amazing was that I had a huge 3-inch gash on my eye, and I brought out the localness, and dude, I just was like a Terminator, you know, and the guys, I'm like, okay, you know, you can't hurt me, come on, let's do this, let's go, you know, and you're going to run. Or you're gonna go and come on, try to finish me. You know?
No, that gas was huge. I thought Gilbert was going to try to have sex with you.
And that's what made you bite your nails and get out of your seat and you're like, oh, holy shit, this guy's nuts. And you know, that's the thing. And so, you know, I hope that me and Gilbert will get a fight again. I hope. I believe without a doubt that we will meet up again.
Dude, I really do. That would be a huge rematch.
Now, some of the other guys you said that you wanted to fight were Nate Diaz, correct?
Yeah, he's next on my list. So I'm gonna go out and take care of this guy, Miles Jury, in dominant fashion. You know, I'm sure he's gonna hear that and it's gonna make him want to train harder. But I'm coming hard for this fight, and I'm gonna put him down and out, and and then I want Nate Diaz, you know, because, you know, I've tried so hard to pick a fight with this guy, and like, come on, man, like, do it for your bigger brother, you know, avenge the loss for your family. You're like, come on, like, you know, the guy, he's swinging from Gilbert Melendez's nuts. Like, I tried so hard to pick a fight with this guy, he won't even respond to me. This guy, he's scared. He's so, because he knows what kicks his ass.
How do you think the Nate Diaz fight would go? I mean, do you think you would knock him out in the first, or?
No, I think that, you know, I think it would be a good fight. I think I respect the Diaz brothers, both of them. They're down-ass fighters, just like me. And that's what I want to fight. I want to fight a down-ass fighter like me, one that's not scared. Right. And that's why I like him, and that's why I want to fight him. But as far as prediction, you know, I wouldn't want to say how I would beat him. But yeah, so I think I think me and him possibly could go, you know, we could go like 5 rounds. Like, we could go probably like 10 rounds. You know, I just think it'll be a really, really good fight, because they're tough, man. They're really tough.
Like, if let's just say that Nate Diaz was listening right now and you wanted to call him out, what would you say to him right now?
Let's do this, man.
Come on, man. Sell it, man. Get him angry.
This is what I would say. Stop using the bullshit ranking system as an excuse. See? This guy's using the bullshit ranking system as an excuse when he just got knocked out by Josh Thompson, you know, recently. You know, I've never been knocked out. You know what I mean? I've been around since day one. I was the first Ultimate Fighter. I've been fighting good guys for a long time. No one submitted me. No one's finished me. And it's like, dude, I'm here. You know, if whether I'm not in the ranking system or not, it don't matter. You know, I'm here. I'm in the 55-pound division, and I'm here. I just took it to the number three guy, who I think is the number one guy. And just because I'm not on those rankings, this guy wants to duck me when he knows this is the fight the fans want. This is the fight everybody wants. Everybody wants to see me fight little Nate Diaz. Because, you know, it's like, come on, it makes sense. It's the best fight. Who else is he going to fight? All right, he ain't going to fight Khabib. Khabib's fighting Gilbert. Who else is he going to fight? Anyone else? You know, give him Masvidal, right? No, oh, no, Masvidal's on a loss. I'm waiting. I think this is what he says. I'm going to wait till I get my title shot with Anthony Pettis. Like, bro, dude, it's, and you're not freaking Floyd Mayweather. Come on, man. You're Nate Diaz. You know, you just got rocked. You got beat by Josh Thompson. He's ahead of you. What makes sense? Diego Sanchez makes sense. You know, I didn't get my ass kicked by Gilbert Melendez. You know, we went toe-to-toe, blow for blow, and I dropped him. I put him out. He was out for a minute. He didn't put me out.
Right.
He didn't put me out. So you know, there we go. There we go. Like, I'm in the mix. I'm in the mix of 155, whether all those guys at 155 want me to be or not. Because the reason being is the ranking system, and I'm not high up on the ranking system, so they're like, oh, no, that's the most dangerous, most risky fight I can take is Diego Sanchez.
Which is crazy, because you finally stopped getting high in person, and now you're not high in the rankings. It's bullshit, man.
Yeah. There's the little young guys, and then there's Conor McGregor. I know you guys want to hear about Conor McGregor.
No, I want to hear about Conor McGregor.
Oh, my God.
Now, according to Conor McGregor, yeah, according to Conor McGregor, said he would whip your fat ass easy. That's not my those aren't my words.
This guy is delusional. He thinks he's the GOAT. He thinks he's the greatest of all time. It's like, you know what, dude? Like, prove your shit, man. Dude,
yeah, how many fights does he have?
You know what? Matt Farley is what, 19, 20 years old? Maybe, I don't even know if he's 21. I don't even know if he can buy a beer.
He's Irish. He's been getting drunk for a minute.
No, Max Holloway is somebody.
Oh,
and
Max Holloway.
He's coming to fight you on 2 weeks' notice. Like, and you don't kick his ass, and you're thinking that you're the GOAT. You're not the GOAT. I don't care whether your knee is hurt or not. Like, so, he's not cool in my book. He's just not cool, you know. And I had to end it, man. When he pulled out a little fat joke, talking shit, calling me fat, I'm like, all right, you know what, dude? This guy has issues. He's gonna figure out. He's gonna go through life. He's gonna get some lessons in life, and eventually, the shit's gonna catch up to him. It's gonna catch up to him hard, and if it's me that catches up to him, so be it. I would love to be the one. But, you know, I'm pretty sure UFC knows, you know, like they don't want this guy to get crushed yet. Like they want to.
I mean, yeah, I mean, well, you guys have been going back and forth. You said that you were going to beat his ass at the Fighter Summit if you see him.
He brought it out of me. He brought a little bit. See, he brought the Street Fighter out of me because that's my core. Before I was a mixed martial artist, I was a street fighter. And that's where I learned to fight was street fighting. And yeah, I was a great wrestler too. But I became a fighter in the streets, you know, wanting to test myself after my wrestling career was done with. And so I know what I'm capable of, and I know all weight classes aside. That's where my best moments of fighting, where I did the most awesome stuff, was in street fighting. And I'm against street fighting now because I'm blessed and I'm lucky that I never got stabbed or shot because it could have happened plenty of times. But so I tell the kids, you know, don't street fight, you know.
Right.
But when I say street fight, I mean street fight as a mentality, as a style of all over the top, over the edge, you know, that switch where, you know, when you're in a street fight, you don't got all night to dance around and play toe-to-toe, dancy-dancy, you know? There might be another guy coming up behind you with a baseball bat, or the cops might be coming, or, you know, some guy might, you know, pull out a gun. You don't know, so you better take care of business quick.
So, okay, so let's say that you just whoop Miles Jury, right? Let's say you beat Miles Jury, and then the UFC says, you know what, Conor McGregor, you know, you talk the talk, you're going to fight Diego Sanchez. What happens during this fight?
I don't know, man. I don't know if I don't know if I don't know, dude. Honestly, he has to at least beat somebody. Like that, he beat that one guy. Was that like his UFC debut or something? Like he had, you know, he beat one guy, but like the guy needs to at least beat somebody with a name, even a lower level name. You know, like. The guy has to beat somebody, period.
So you don't think Conor deserves the fight?
Look at all the guys. Look at all the top guys in the 145-pound division. There's so many guys. Look at Dustin Poirier. Like, hey, like this guy's trying to be all I'm the greatest. But there's guys like Dustin Poirier out there. Those guys are good. There's guys like my teammate, Cub Swanson, you know, that are up there. Mm-hmm. You know, and then there's guys like Mendez is a monster, you know? There's a bunch of monsters in that division, and that's why I'm just like, dude, you want to come up a division, and you haven't even beat a monster in your own division. You want to come up and challenge a monster in this division.
Good point.
That makes sense.
It makes total sense to me, and you know, I don't understand why he's calling out people that are fighting a 170.
I heard he called a Cormier last week.
It doesn't make any sense.
This guy really believes his own hype. He hasn't been humbled yet, you know, and been good for him. But like, dude, you know what? Even though the guy has losses, like, cause he's the guy who's undefeated, you know, he has losses to nobodies, and he still believes in life. So to me, I'm like, this guy's delusional. He's like, this shit, like saying that I'm stuttering and shit, dude. Sometimes, you know, when you're excited and you just freaking went round for round in one of the greatest fights of all time, and you're pumped and excited, come on, bro, you might be stuttering too.
Yeah, no, I stutter on a daily basis. That's all I do is stutter, and I haven't fought anybody, except for some guy in my elevator. But
he lost a tooth for it.
But anyway, we got it.
I'm not a professional public speaker. I'm a professional ass kicker. That's what I do.
And you do a very good job of it, Diego. You are a legend. You know, you're the Ultimate Fighter 1 winner. Did you ever think that you would get this far?
I knew I was gonna be champion, and I still know I'm gonna be champ. This is my year, 2014. I'm coming, and like I said, you know, people, the you know what, the fighters, they know, you know, like Anthony Pettis, Josh Thompson, those are some of the top guys. They know what's up, bro. They're trying to blow. Larry got subs. He's old. He's overwashed up. He's overrated. He, I'm not on the top 10. Oh, he's not even top 10. Bullshit. Those guys know what's up. And you know what? They respect me and they know what's up, bro. They know what I bring to the table. All of them. All of the top 155 pounders.
Absolutely, man. Like
every one of them.
Well, hey, man, it was an honor for you to be on the show. Thank you, Diego. Thank you so much for coming on the show, man.
Got it, and it was a good time being with you guys. You guys try to get me all pumped up and excited and everything.
Yeah.
But it's all good. I want Nate Diaz. That's the one. That's the next one. I think it has to go down like that because I take out Nate Diaz, and then I'm the only guy to beat both brothers, and I think that's a part of history that needs to go down. If he's scared, he's scared, and he don't want to do it. You know, that's probably the smartest decision on his part because he got momentum, and he knows that I whooped that ass because, you know, anybody that beats your bigger brother, you're scared of them because, like, that's your bigger brother. You know, he's the one that beats you.
Well, Nick already lost a random drug test, too. But yeah, absolutely, man. Diego, anytime you want to come on, you have a permanent, even if you want to have the Diego Sanchez rant, yeah, we'd love to make you a part of the show, man, because
I do need to rant sometimes, and I will start ranting, and I do go into my little rant, so, you know, maybe we might have to do that, because I don't deny my rants. I do go on the rants. I get excited, and I do go on the rants, and I try to get it all out, and, you know, I'm doing my best at that.
Well, you do a great job, man. Well, take care, and have a happy new year, brother. Okay.
Happy New Year. Tomorrow's my birthday.
Oh, happy New Year, brother.
You know, I'm going to be 32, and it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good year.
Happy birthday,
buddy. Happy birthday, man.
Later.
Well, that was Diego Sanchez.
Interesting guy.
Very shy. Yeah. Diego, I love Diego Sanchez. I could listen to that guy. I could watch that guy fight. That guy, you know, he's all emotion. It's refreshing to have a guy who's all, does not care. He's a fighter,
and
man.
And very humble, too.
For a guy,
He's
earned that way. I mean,
yeah, hell yeah.
Has anybody else put on as many, you know, the
wars?
Wars between, you know, Clay Guida and Gilbert Melendez and
Ellenberger.
And Ellenberger and the Martin Campman. And you go through Diego Sanchez's whole thing of who the guy's not bound, BJ Penn. You look at the guys he's fought, what he's accomplished. So if anybody deserves to say, look, I'm a fighter, it's Diego Sanchez because that guy is a fighter. I mean, he's everything. When I think of if I was going to war, I would want Diego Sanchez.
Hell yeah.
On my team, you know, Jesus, he's all heart. He's got obviously skill and everything else, and wrestling and striking and kicking and jiu-jitsu, but heart is, I think, his
biggest attribute.
His biggest asset. Yeah. The guy's heart. Holy cow. Okay, so we have Hector Lombard on the podcast right now. Happy holidays, Hector Lombard. Happy New Year, man. So, Hector, I know you were in Australia recently, and you ran into Bisping again, correct?
Yeah, I ran into that guy again.
What happened?
I didn't want to, but, you know, he came for the UFC. He always came for all those stuff.
Did you say hello to him?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
he came back again. And here you go again.
Did you shake his hand?
I didn't want to, but he's sort of like he was, you know, in my face, you know what I mean? Like, oh my God. I'm like, oh, should I punch him or should I just walk away?
Jeez.
But, you know what I mean? I think twice. I thought, you know, let me be a good boy here. And so when I said, should I punch you or should I squeeze your hands? Well, what I should do? And he said, oh, no, whatever. So, okay, all right, let me squeeze your hands again anyway. So I squeeze it. He was ready this time, though. I can't tell you as much. He was prepared.
So he was prepared.
So you squeeze his hand, and then what did he do?
Oh, you know when the guys are prepared, like they know you're gonna squeeze the hand.
Oh, he like braced himself this time.
He started to squeeze back.
He went just right at the end. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he didn't give me a soft check hands. You know what I mean? It was like, how can I spend that to you?
Last time he made a funny face. Did he make a funny face this time?
This time he didn't. Oh. He was ready.
He
was practicing his like no making face skills.
Wow. Oh,
he
man.
He was all ready for the woods.
Yeah, so he braced himself. So you didn't get a chance to see him make a funny face.
No, yeah. He was expecting the pain anyway. So, I mean, like, I don't know how to
explain
to you.
It's okay. No, I appreciate the story. I was looking forward to hearing what happened. I remember we talked briefly last time, and you started to tell me.
The main thing is I still squeezed even if he was ready, though.
I was, because I remember I had called you last week, and then we got the wrong time, but you started telling me that I ran into your friend Bisbing, and I squeezed his hand again, and then for the last week, all I kept thinking was, what happened when you squeezed his hand? So thank you for letting me know what happened, because it was bothering me all week.
I mean, it'd be hard to explain to you, what really happened there, because you wasn't there.
Yeah, I hear you.
When you're ready and you're still gonna get beat up, no matter where, and the fight playing a game or whatever, you're ready, but you're still gonna get your ass whooped.
Yeah, yeah, no, no matter what you do, I've been in those situations when I was wrestling that like no matter what I did, I knew the guy was gonna take me down. The guy was that much better than me. So
yeah, it was like that. Like he knew that I was squeezing it, and I did it.
Maybe he'll learn his lesson next time. He'll just put out his fist to fist bump.
Yeah, next time he'll try to bump your fist. Now, Hector, you got a big fight coming up against Jake Shields. Are you ready for this? Are you excited? I mean, I remember last time you kept asking me to ask you about Jake Shields, and you're gonna take him. And now you get to take him. Will you tell us what your thoughts about that fight?
I'm ready for the. I mean, how can I explain to you this? This guy's just gonna come to hug me. I mean, like it's a big hugger. I can't allow to his hugger to hug me. I'm kind of like that. I have to keep the distance and punk him up from the outside. I know that he's prepared for it, but I'm gonna be prepared for for this guy just trying to hug me the whole fight.
Yeah, no, I mean that's the thing. It seems that Jake Shields sometimes like he. He beat Damian Maya. It was kind of a boring fight, but he seems to be very good at grappling at American Jiu-Jitsu. That seems to be his specialty. Is this sort of like?
Yeah, I mean, definitely not go and make the fight boring. What else be gonna do?
So you're gonna you're gonna knock him out.
Yeah, I. He gonna go over there and make the fight boring like he always does, and I can't afford to have another boring fight in the UFC again.
Yeah, I want to see the vintage Hector Lombard that was just savage, like just.
Well, last fight, I mean, right. The Nate Marquardt, you destroyed Nate Marquardt and against Paul Harris. I mean, you obliterated Paul Harris. By the way, I wanted to ask you about that. After Paul Harris got cut, do you think he should have got cut? What were your thoughts about that, by the way?
I mean, I'm an athlete, and I don't wish the bad to any. Let's put it this way. Let me keep it simple. I think it should be good because he doesn't learn. You know what I mean? Like, right. He's done it twice already. Man, what the hell? Don't do it again.
Yeah,
he's gonna hurt somebody.
You've been breaking people's bone, man. Without when the people tapping, just relax, will ya? You know, you retarded or something wrong with your brain or something, man. You know what I mean? Like, what the hell?
Yeah,
break. Come on, seriously.
Not only are you doing great. A lot of your guys in your camp. I mean, you, Woodley, and Lawler are all, you know, according to Woodley, it's like a race to see who can get to the top first. You guys are just killing it. How do you see the Hendricks Lawler fight going?
Yikes.
Yeah, well, I haven't done with this guy.
Oh, sorry, keep going.
Yeah, like, I think he's very evil, man. You know, a guy like that, you kind of, I don't know what this guy is having in any other organization. He's gonna keep breaking people's bone, man.
Right, Paul Harris. Yeah.
Imagine if you fought that guy in the street and there's no one to stop you.
Paul Harris?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't want to fight that guy. I mean, that guy's—he's a maniac.
I'm just saying. You're like, all right, I'm done. And he's like, no, you're not done until I. And now you're done.
Yeah.
Well, I could tell you that the mean of how can a person can be so mean and evil, because I don't want to. Sorry that I just cut you off.
No, it's okay.
But I gotta tell one thing, okay?
Sure.
Did I have time for this?
You have all time in the world. You're honestly my favorite guest. I could talk to you forever. I feel like I'm the annoying nephew, and I'm like, you're my uncle. You're my Cuban uncle that I just keep asking questions to. But I love having you on the show.
So, thank you. Put it this way. You will always find out who is the real guy when you became a nail. Not when you hammer up people left and right. When you become a nail. I mean, like when you're a nail, when you're getting beat up left and right, see if you can keep fighting.
Right.
Either way goes when you on top. When you're on top of the game, see if you're going to be humble and see if you're going to just keep talking with everyone.
Right.
I don't know if you understand what I'm saying here.
No, I understand. I think what you're saying is that character shows not when you're kicking someone's ass, but when you're getting your ass kicked, how can you come back? How are you going to respond?
And what I'm saying with this is that, dude, you know, when you're showing, when you already beat the guy, just leave it alone, brother.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, leave it alone. Don't just beat him up, the guy still. Just let it go, brother. You know, you really beat him up. Just chill out.
Yeah. Right.
And some people, they just, got the leg. You're really tough. Let me smash it. Let me break it in 4 pieces.
Now, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, by the way, have you ever been the nail in your life? Because it seems like every fight that you've won, aside from the guys that you've either just beaten on a guy mercilessly, or every fight you lost was a guy became a hugger and figured out how to grind you out and just take you down and like hold you there. Have you ever been the nail during a fight?
I'm always being a nail.
Oh, come on.
Who's the hammer?
You ain't this thing.
What?
I mean, in the way where, you know, I mean, like, I put it this way. even when I win a fight, I don't make it like a big issue.
Yeah.
You know, that's me, like being.
That's being a nail.
Going, yeah. Me being normal.
Now
just dialogue and, you know, just smash the guy and be on top of him. And if you have a rock, I will throw a rock on him too. No, just leave it alone, man.
What did you think of Ronda Rousey last week in the UFC after she wouldn't shake Miesha Tate's hand?
Pretty sure she has her reasons for it.
Right. I mean, she said that Miesha insulted her family.
Put it this way. There is no human being, at least if you really crazy, but there's no being a human being that show up a reaction without an action.
Right.
So what I'm saying with this is like, you don't know what is behind the scenes, you know what I mean? Like, probably Miesha Tate, she's been disrespectful to her.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if you're going to go to the bank and rob the bank, you're not going to go and rob somebody when you have money.
She's saying there's a reason she was being mean. But she said that Miesha was insulting her family. If somebody insulted your family, you wouldn't shake their hand afterwards, huh?
What about you? Were you?
Someone insulted my family. Well, I insult my own family. But no. There are times where like, let's say I'm on stage doing comedy and I've had hecklers before. Try to ruin my show. And then afterwards, try to shake my hand and go, "Hey, man, I was kidding." And I was like, "No, dude, like, there's no shaking hands." So I was thinking about that, and that would probably be the closest that I've ever come to acting like that. Like, you know what? You know, you didn't play by the rules. You were doing this. We're not shaking hands afterwards. Yes. You know,
right? You know, but you know what? You know what? I can't tell you this. The funny thing is that she's just being real. You know, she's being real. But
you're not sticking up for her because you guys are both into like judo.
And I don't care if she's a winner or not. I don't care if she's on the rush. I mean, I love her in the way that I'm a fan of her.
Wait, you love Ronda Rousey? Like,
no, that I'm in love with her.
Oh, you're not in love with her. You just love her as a person. No. But you guys have trained together.
Yeah, I mean, I like her personality because what you see is what you get.
Right.
You know.
Right.
What you see is what you get. She's mean, but at the same time, she's dedicated.
Yeah.
And now I don't want to suck it up. I'm not sucking up to her or whatever because I know there's a lot of people there and gonna get confused.
No, but you also have that. You guys both have that judo background. I know that for a while it seemed like if you look at the mixed martial arts, it seemed jiu-jitsu and the first UFCs was the dominant martial arts. Then it kind of became wrestling, and now there's a movement sort of towards judo, where judo is kind of making a, I wouldn't say a comeback, because it's always been there. But have you been noticing that? The judo seems to be like the, you know.
Yeah. Judo has been always a stronger sport for years. But what I'm saying, I don't know if it was with you when I was talking to you about it. That I say, there's no one that is going to beat Ronda Rousey. Because she's been training. She's been doing judo since she was like 5 years old, lifting bodies and stuff like that. So how come all these women, they just come from a local gym after they're 15 or whatever, and start training because it's cool? I don't know. Probably they got involved with the boyfriend, and the boyfriend say, "Oh, you know, I'm doing this, you know," and so, "Oh yeah, I want to be famous." And then they start doing that, and then they want to fight, and then they become a little bit famous. It's a different story with Ronda. You know, Ronda, she started when she was like 5 or 4 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and she didn't did it because it was cool. She did it because the mother pushed her. And today she says, "Oh, I'm grateful to my mother." But she says that before she used to hate all that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sort of like Mayweather back in the days. Like, he started off because the father wanted him to be a champion. So who can be Mayweather today?
Nobody.
No one. Well, because he started, you know, because his father. And
how did you start, by the way? Who got Hector Lombard into fighting?
I got myself in the U. It was nothing else where I came from. You know what I mean? It was nothing else. It was just judo and baseball. I hate baseball. I'm sorry for, you know, some baseball fans up there, but kind of, I don't like that.
Right.
Football and all that. So I don't like. I never liked baseball. And it was just judo and baseball. So I decided to go for judo.
Do you miss Cuba at all or no?
Hell no. No.
Say hell.
Miss Cuba. I don't know. That maybe. I've been to
it's
Cuba.
It's nice weather, but yeah, I've been to Guantanamo Bay.
It was beautiful.
I've been telling a lot of people, you know, I'm saying I'm Cuban and I love Cubans, but no, man, how can you miss bad things, man? Serious?
No, I'm being serious, but I mean, you could still like have a family there and friends there and people you grew up with.
No, my family's up here. America.
Oh, okay. All right. That was more of the question. That's where I was going with it. It wasn't the actual like Cuba, you know, in Castro. I was just asking if you like,
actually, my mother, she's walking around by the way. She just walked past.
Oh, nice. Tell her I said hello. I'm a big fan of her son. Now, last time, you know, we talked about Ben Askren, and you know, I still think the UFC should have signed Ben Askren. Ben.
You're
killing me.
I'm a fan of yours, but I disagree with you in that one.
Is it?
I disagree with you. I said to you before, we are in entertainment business, you know? You're there just to entertain yourself. You're not there just to bore yourself up.
Right, no, I understand people think he's boring. I'm a fan of his wrestling. Now, I had posted on the forum what you said about Ben Askren. That, you know, I would say 80% of the people thought that you would win. There was a good number of people who thought Askren, his wrestling might be too much. But then it came up that you guys had trained together. Have you trained with Ben Askren?
Yeah.
So what happened when you guys?
I don't want to hear from you that he lies to you and then he says that he whooped my ass because that wasn't truth.
No, I he didn't say that. But I want to hear from you. What happened when you and Ben Askren trained together?
You know, I want to. Hold on a second. My bag is killing me. Hold on. Man, I don't like to get to go out there and say things about people without when they haven't said a thing bad for me. But I mean, he didn't do a thing, you know. Just put it that way.
I mean, no, there was someone said that he said he wanted no part of you after training with you. Was that, did you just dominate him in training? Is that what happened?
Yeah, he knows it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Now, we have a question from the underground because I put anybody have any questions. There's a guy named Machismo who wants to know about there was a street fight that you got into with another judoka in Cuba. Would you like to talk about that at all?
Which one? Because I've got too many. Street fights.
But But was there one specific one that you got into with a very famous judo guy in Cuba?
Oh, man, to be honest to you, I was trouble back in the days. I mean, every day you are going to fight with somebody. What else?
Okay, there was a... Now, everybody... now, every time that I say, do you have anybody questions for Hector Lombard, everybody always talks about there was supposedly a rumor that you were beating up everyone at the gym. The people, you were just destroying your training partners, and that you and Josh Barnett got into a fight, a two-hour fight at the gym. And it was...
I will be sad. I can tell it straight up in your radio show. I will be sad.
You whip Barnett's ass at the gym.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, people won't believe that because they're going to say, bullshit artist, whatever. I will be sad. He knows it.
So...
And hold on. Let me tell the whole story.
Okay.
We started, training, whatever. He thought that I was going to suck it up to him, which is like, and no, a bit no for me because I don't like to suck it up to anyone. So he would come and give clothes to everyone and people just, suck it up to him, whatever. I'm like, what the heck's going on here? I'm like, the hell? And time goes by and one day we're sparring, and you're just demolishing. I just beat the shit out of his face. It was a mess. And he just walked away from the sparring. He just left. What does that tell you?
That's crazy. I mean, he has 100 pounds on him.
Yeah, what does that tell you? Like, just, I whooping the hell out of you, put it away. I whooping the hell out of you. You blood everywhere. The mat was full of blood and stuff like that. And you just couldn't handle it. You couldn't do nothing about it. You tired. You don't want to get hit anymore. And you just walk away from the sparring. So, I'm like, what the hell's going on here? But this guy left. So, I thought he was going to just get, grab something and, just hit me with it. But he just left, and then, I saw him the other day, the next day. So, long story short, one day I was training, and that was the second time that we sparred. He got me tired, and my son can die from, I just, swear for my son's life about this situation here. Okay? My son can just die. Let's forget about the first thing that I told you about me whooping his ass and, he was bleeding everywhere and, he couldn't handle it anymore and he just walked away from the sparring.
Wait, I mean, right, but did you say...
This is like 100% truth.
Right.
And my son can't just die. I swear for my son's life.
Wait, he's
swearing on his son's life.
Okay.
He swears on his son's life that this is true. Son,
okay, gotcha.
Yes. And long story short.
Too late.
Another day we sparring, and I spar with Babalu. I was sparring with Babalu, and he actually was detaining the sparring session. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was running the sparring section, okay? And I was sparring with Babalu. I sparred with Babalu. I sparred with Fletcher. I forget his first name. I know he's Fletcher.
Tate Fletcher?
He fought up.
Holy smokes.
Was it Tate Fletcher?
From the Ultimate Fighter years ago?
He fights out of California. He fought a couple times for... Elias C. Anyway, I sparred him. I sparred I spied Babalu. I spied. Anyway, it was like a bunch of guys. I spied 5 guys there. All right? 5 guys.
5 guys you spied that
he
day.
He jumped in. When I was tired, I swear to God.
So you fought 5 guys, and then Barnett just jumps in, but you've already been sparring.
In five minutes, sparring section, okay?
Right.
He just jumped in. And I'm like, oh, you sparring now? What the hell? I was exhausted. Okay? Is that fair to you?
That makes sense to me. I mean, of course it's fair to me. I mean, dude, are you kidding? I'm exhausted hearing this.
Anyway, and I'm okay, you know, you want to spar, whatever. He went, he just rushed it, and he took me down. And I'm like, oh, shit. And then he was pounding me the hell out of me. Bah, 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 throwing bombs at me. He want to knock me out. And I was exhausted, you know, and I was like, I remember that I was fighting for my life. I'm like, what the hell? At one point, I was thinking to just bite his ass because what the hell's going on here? You know what I mean?
So you're
going
to bite his ass?
I was going to buy his ass.
Okay.
Because, you know, what the hell? You know, it's just fighting for your life.
Right.
So I escaped. And I got on top. Guess what he said?
What did he say?
Okay, it's enough. I'm like, no, let's go now. Let's do this shit now. And he's like, no, I'm running this part of the station here. I'm like, I couldn't believe it.
So he's
how a man can be so coward and do that to anyone.
That's crazy. I mean, you were tired. He jumped on you. He was pounding away. You reversed him, and then he said, "Fight's over."
Anyway, I just, you know, what else I can tell you, right?
No, you told us, dude. Now that's training. Do you think in a real fight you would beat Josh Barnett?
In the real fight, I will demolish Josh Barnett.
Wow.
In the fist-to-fist fight, me and him, where headbutts are allowed, bang, whatever.
Headbutts and biting?
Know, what the hell's going on? You know, like, if we go to the ground, I'm just going to bite you. I got to bite the shit out of you. It's survival.
Yeah.
You know?
So you...
I will definitely beat him. I was definitely beating in a street fight. He knows that. And I don't scared to tell him in a national radio station. I will tell him he's crazy if you're seeing too, which I have already.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Hector Lombard, this is why you're my favorite guest, man. You
always entertaining.
You are the most entertaining, scariest, hilarious human being I think I've met in my life, man. You are one of a kind, dude, and I can't wait for your fight against Jake Shields, man. Thanks for coming on, man. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. You know, I really have fun with you guys. You know, something that I never have with, you know, because, you know, I tell you, my, you know, it's a lot of wannabe, how you call
journalists and reporters and interviewers and comedians.
Yeah. It's a lot of wannabe reporters out there. They just wannabe. It's like, have you seen those guys that just try hard? Like, yeah, they pull the rings in the car and they paint the car and they just say wannabe. Just be yourself, man. You know, if you're gonna be, you're gonna be. You know, you don't have to just try hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what I'm saying with this is, like, there's a lot of reporters that just want to become famous. I mean, the key of the reporter is just let the guy be himself.
Absolutely, man.
You know what I mean?
I'm too scared not to.
Back in the days when Muhammad Ali would only do interviews with one person.
Howard Cosell.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because there is a guys up there, they are real. And there is all these ones they just wanna be. So sometimes, you know, I get those guys they wanna be. They say, oh, can you please do an interview? I say, I'll go away. No. Oh, you know, but you know, I feel you guys are real, you know.
Absolutely, man. No, we're real fans, man.
Having fun.
We're real comedians. We're real fans, and dude, have a great New Year, Hector, man. And we definitely want to have you back. By the way, I've been doing this show for a year now, and I have never had more people ask for a fighter to come back on than you. The fans love you, man. Keep up the great work. And I can't wait to watch your fight. We're going to have you on before then. And have a happy New Year, man.
Well, likewise. And the fans, they know that I'm real too. You know what I mean? I know I'm going to go over there and they just talk shit or talk a lie. Or bring a lie to a story to make myself feel good. Everything that I say is always truth. You know what I mean? It's not like, I tell you one thing. It's 120% truth. And just my name knows it.
I believe you, man.
Truth is scarier than fiction.
I believe you. One thing... you are not is unbelievable. So thank you, man. Thanks for coming on and have a great New Year, brother. Oh, that was Hector Lombard. To everybody that kept asking me to ask him about Josh Barnett, that's the story according to Lombard. Maybe we'll have Barnett on and he'll tell his version of it. Or
yeah.
But wow, that was. That was something. I don't know. I'm speechless, man. Between Diego Sanchez and Hector Lombard so far.
Those are totally opposite ends of the spectrum.
Those. Well, not really, though.
Well, not really, but Hector, like, he takes his time answering. It's like, do you know this isn't being recorded?
I don't think he cares.
He's you know.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of pauses, but you know what? I mean.
Look, I was at the gym.
But I enjoy listening to you know what? I'm hanging on every word, man.
I know.
There's a guy that, like, normally people don't stop talking. Hector Lombard can say three words, and and he says a lot of prolific stuff. I mean, the nail and the hammer. I was like, I knew what he was trying to say. I knew what he was saying. I knew what he was trying to say. And I understand you when you're a nail is when you find out what you really are, not when you're a hammer.
Right.
I get it. Right. I get what he was saying. And, Wow, Hector Lombard is one of a kind.
I can't wait. I'm going to go to Miami and hang out with him, man.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going.
I would hang out with him. But definitely, I would have to choose your words. I'm definitely one of those guys that I would want to say the wrong thing around Hector Lombard.
Right.
You know? And I definitely would never spar with him.
But remember he asked you?
He asked me to come spar with him. I was like, yeah, I think I'll be sick that lifetime. I'm not going to spar with him.
Yo, find out. Come down.
He's like, come train. I'd rather get hit by a train than actually train with Hector Lombard. Well, that was Hector Lombard. That was intense.
A great guy.
Hilarious. One of my favorite guests of all time. I'm happy he told us his true version of the Josh Barnett story.
We just gotta get Josh on here to get his side now.
We gotta get Josh on here. Yes, we should get them both on.
Let's see if we can get him to come in and sit down.
Yeah, right. I'll be outside the glass watching with popcorn. I'm not even going near that. But yeah, that was wow. Do you believe that story? I mean,
I know Josh, and I'm getting to know Hector. I don't know.
Who knows, right?
Yeah, who knows? I don't want to say yes or no.
Josh is 100 pounds bigger than him, but yeah. You know, Hector Lombard's a monster.
Hector doesn't strike me as the type of person that would lie.
Yeah, you're at ditto, bingo. Right. And so I don't see Hector lying about anything.
Right.
That's one of those dudes that I feel like he just tells the truth. But I'd love to hear Josh's version of it. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Follow me at MMA Roasted or at Adam Comedian. Or at adamhunter.com. But thank you, and congratulations, Todd, to winning the Replace Todd Rex.
Thank you.
You actually won.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. Thank
Made
you
it two
guys.
Weeks in a row, though. So yes. That was the criteria.
Thank you guys so much, and have a happy new year.
Thank you guys.